Hello, everyone. Welcome to another edition of Flyer Buzz here on Flyers Radio 24/7. I'm Brian Smith, joined by Bill Meltzer. Glad to have you along with us for another edition of the podcast here as the Philadelphia Flyers continue on through the month of February and try to kind of cement their place in the standings right now as much as you can in February, because things can change very quickly, obviously, around the NHL throughout the season. But the Flyers are still in the thick of things, and as of the time we're recording this, in a playoff spot by 3 points, which incidentally was the same as their situation at this time last year. Unfortunately, we all know how that turned out, so the Flyers really got to focus and try to make sure that doesn't happen again. But I think they're in a little bit of a different situation than they were last year, Bill. The Flyers in a spot right now where, again, they've played a lot of divisional games. They still have a lot remaining, though, and we've talked a little bit about the importance of that and the fact that they can they can kind of control their destiny a little bit with those divisional games. But at the same time, it seems like everybody around them is kind of faltering at this point. And the Flyers just went through a four-game winless streak but didn't lose much ground, because for the most part, the rest of the Metro hasn't been winning much either. And they've got 2 wins in a row now as of the time we're recording this, and if they can keep that going, they're just going to, keep climbing.
Absolutely. There was a, not entirely unexpected. It was unfortunate that Brian Elliott got hurt and the Flyers didn't necessarily get the best goaltending in those games, while Elliott was away. The Flyers, listen, they were playing a series of tough opponents, and Tampa, they beat in Tampa. The Flyers, they kind of got away from them a little bit. The game in Washington, the Flyers had a great first period in that game, and then everything just kind of fell apart in the second period after that. But those are tough teams. Jersey, Flyers beat Jersey twice. 4 games within a month, it's very hard to beat the same teams.
Yeah, absolutely.
Over and over. So the good thing is the Flyers didn't lose any ground. And as you said, overall, if you go back to the end of the 10-game winless streak, the Flyers have been one of the better teams in the NHL, towards the top third. That's very, very different from what happened last year, where the Flyers had the big 10-game winning streak and then after Christmas couldn't win until March. So this year they're trending the right way as the stretch drive draws close, and nobody, Flyers have been a little bit fortunate. As you said, they've been getting help out of town. I mean, last night the Devils lost, and the Flyers were already ahead of the Islanders, but the Islanders lost as well. So the Flyers, find themselves at this point. They're right on Jersey's heels again, and they have another head-to-head game with them coming up. They're on Pittsburgh's heels too, because the Flyers have a game in hand. And the other thing that is worth mentioning is that because teams are so close, it wouldn't be unexpected if there is a tie in the standings. Flyers have the tiebreaker edge in everybody but Pittsburgh.
Yep, absolutely. Looking back at that 4-game winless streak, over the past week or so, I mean, when I watched those games, around the All-Star break, the Tampa and the Washington games, obviously both losses, and you're not going to take much out of a loss, but to me, those games weren't your typical loss to get kind of broken down about, just because the Flyers in both of those games just looked excellent against two of the Eastern Conference's top teams in the first period of those games. They controlled play in both occasions. In the case of the Washington game, we were able to come back and have a strong third period as well. For whatever reason in those games, their second periods kind of failed them, but you can almost see the script coming when you have a game like that and a team goes into a game and dominates the first period. With the Tampa game, you almost knew going into the first intermission that the Flyers were in trouble, just from the standpoint of they dominated that first period and didn't get a goal, and you know that the wave is going to come back at you in the second period, and that's what happened. In Washington, they did so against the Capitals, but that time were able to get a couple of goals and as such were able to stay in the game, but again, the wave came back at them in the second period. And one thing that strikes me about this team as well is I think they're pretty good at with some of the young talent on this team, they're pretty good at kind of learning on the fly. And they, Travis Konecny has still said something to me before the you know, after the 10-game winless streak that stuck with me is that now they know what it feels like to be in a winning situation, and, you know, seems like they're getting an idea of what they need to do to be consistently successful. And when they go through games like that, I think they learn a little bit about themselves and how, you know, you need to bounce back from a or not bounce back, but you need to come out in a second period like that, continuing to try to manage manage momentum, if you will.
Absolutely. And if, you know, if there is some adversity within a game, I mean, they can play through it, I guess. And you know, unfortunate in those games, and I mean, it's something that still needs to be addressed, is that, you know, in that series of games, you know, where they lost the four, at least except for the final one, penalty killing was still a big issue in those games. That's something that definitely needs to be cleaned up for the stretch drive. You know, it's something that we keep coming back to. But, you know, 5-on-5 play was pretty good. They weren't allowing a lot of chances. The game against Ottawa, where they were, you know, quite frankly, fortunate to steal a point at the end, but they dominated that third period. Even the second period leading up to the third Ottawa goal, the Flyers took over that game. You know, they probably maybe deserved a little bit better fate. Again, you know, you don't want to point fingers too much at goaltending in those games, but the fact of the matter is there were some saves that they really needed to have made that weren't made. That could be the difference in a game. You know, and having Brian Elliott back now is a big benefit to the team. Not that Michael Neuwirth is a goalie who, you know, can't steal you a game. He can get hot at times as well, but you know, Elliott has just been such a vital player for the club this season, a big part of why they were able to get over the hump of the 10-game winless streak. And even during that 10-game winless streak, he was playing well. So, you know, having him back is huge. Having young players starting to take a bigger bite from the team, you know, the way Travis Konecny has played, Nolan Patrick has really stepped up recently. You know, last night he was moved down in the lineup for the third period when they were protecting a 2-goal lead. He had kind of a rough second period, but we've seen that, you know, he'll bounce back. And now the Flyers look like they have at least two lines that can score. And so, you know, and they still have a good power play as well, the first unit particularly. So, you know, they have the ability to, you know, to get the goals that they need. You know, and they still have some things, I think, you know, I think they would say there have been times where their own worst enemies. But I think overall, you know, you can look most nights to give themselves enough chance to win.
It's going to be a little interesting, I think, to see what happens with the Flyers' goaltending here over the next, you know, short term to 6 months maybe, because obviously two games don't make a career or a decision or anything like that. As we all know, Ron Hextall is a long-term planner. But when Elliott went down, you know, things did not go well for the Flyers in the crease, really. You know, Michael Neuwirth came back from his injury and was lights out for the Flyers in a couple of starts. And you mentioned that he's shown a little bit of signs of being hot and cold. And I'm not sure why that is, if it's, you know, just, you know, part of his, just the habits of the kind of goaltender he is. But the one thing that he was dealing with, as it seemed, was a little bit of the touch of the flu coming out of the All-Star break, or some sort of illness that kept him out of practice. And he said he was still kind of struggling with over the next couple of games. And then Alex Lyon came in, and, you know, again, one of the guys that has been, you know, touted as potentially one of the goalies of the future for this team, and had a very, very strong training camp. He's looked good with the Phantoms, you know, and he had some stretches during his NHL stay here that were decent, but it seemed to be a little shaky as well in other times. The one goal that I don't think a lot of people really maybe remember was the one that Matt Duchene scored that was called back for offsides. Yeah. That was that was right at the end of that period, after which Lyon was pulled for Neuwirth in that game against Ottawa. And that goal was just almost alarming, just the way he was positioned and the way he played it. So I'm not sure what was there, but it should be interesting to see where it goes from here. Does Alex Lyon go back down to the AHL, go on a run, and you know, reestablish himself and get another shot with the Flyers some point down the road? What role does Michael Neuwirth play moving forward? Is it going to be the two-goalie platoon that Ron Hextall talks about, or is it going to be spot duty for Neuvirth? It's just going to be kind of interesting to see where it goes, plus when you consider that both goalies are under contract for next year. You got Carter Hart waiting in the wings, just blowing up the Western Hockey League, and you know, obviously would probably like to see him get a year in the AHL once he turns pro, but a lot of teams out there need some serious goaltending help. Might Michael Neuvirth be a solution for one of those in the trade market coming to the deadline? I don't know, but there's a lot of questions there. I think it's going to make for an interesting run here in the next little bit.
Absolutely. You know, with Neuvirth, you can go back to that Washington series 2 years ago. He almost forced seven games single-handedly in that series. He was unbelievable. You know, and you said, I mean, Neuvirth, when he first came back from his injury, he put together a couple phenomenal starts. You know, I think if you put together the Flyers' top 10 saves of this year, you know, half of them would be Neuvirth saves. Mm-hmm. And he's barely, you know, he hasn't played even close to half the games. I mean, Neuvirth can do that. You know, he's a goalie who can get hot for a club. You know, it's a bit of a shame for Alex Lyon. I know he, you know, was hoping for a lot better in his first two NHL starts. It's hard as you get close to the stretch drive to be able to, you know, to have the confidence to put in a young goalie in that situation. You know, all he can do is keep working, keep playing well for the Phantoms. They do have a veteran option in Dustin Tokarski. You know, he does have some NHL games, so if they need a backup, he's a guy they could call up. You know, when he was with Montreal, he had some decent games for them. So, you know, there is an option there. I don't think the Flyers are going to be in the market to acquire a goalie, but, you know, I think that, you know, I mean, obviously a big part of it is Brian Elliott saying healthy, because, you know, all of a sudden they went from being pretty deep in the position to being concerned about it. So it's, you know, it's something that, you know, but I think you could put most NHL teams in that boat. It's very hard to have that third guy you can call up in a pinch. I mean, that's, you know, that can be tough. And who knows, you know, and I don't think we would see him at the NHL level this year, even if he is able to come back. But Anthony Stolarz is working on trying to play this season too.
So the Flyers right now are in a bit of a stretch here that's really a little more grueling than I think it lets on at first notice, because, you know, it's a run here between consecutive days off where they started in Carolina. They come back home, have the Montreal game yesterday, and to me that was a critical win, not just from the standpoint of, okay, you move up in the standings, but to get 2 points in the start of what's coming up here on a day where, yeah, they're at home, but let's be honest, their routines were disrupted by the Super Bowl parade. A lot of players live in Center City. I believe a lot of them, you know, they had to practice in Voorhees instead of at the Wells Fargo Center, and I believe a lot of the players ended up staying there and spending the day there instead of going home and getting ready for their normal routine. So they were able to fight through that, whatever have you that they're fighting through, and they got that done. Now they have this trip to Arizona and Vegas, which is a very quick trip with a lot of miles involved. It's a flight on Friday all the way out to Arizona. So you're jumping from Eastern right to Pacific time. They do at least play at 5 p.m. in Arizona, so it's only an 8 p.m. start here. Then they got to fly to Vegas, do the same thing again, 8 p.m. on Sunday. And then it's a flight all the way back across the country, I believe, on Monday to come back here and get ready to take on the Devils on Tuesday. So there's not a ton of hockey in here, but it is a ton of travel that perhaps the Flyers aren't used to, and players in the Western Conference would just, you know, laugh at us even talking about this because they're flying all over the country on a regular basis. But this is an interesting run here for the team, just in terms of the amount of time they're spending on a plane here in this 4-day span versus the amount of hockey they have to play.
Generally, yeah, absolutely. It was generally, you know, oh, we talk a lot about back-to-backs, and I think a lot of players will tell you a back-to-back isn't a big deal. But when it's a 3-4 with a lot of travel involved, and then, you know, 4-6 situation, that's where it can start to take a toll. Particularly the third period of those games, you really have to be playing from ahead. You can't take a lot of penalties. So, you know, all those kind of things. You know, this game in Arizona on Saturday, I mean, that's a trap game. Flyers have already lost to the Coyotes once this season. you know, and that was a game where the Flyers were even lucky to get a point out of that game. You know, we've seen the Flyers play down to the Buffalo Sabres before. You know, I think that, you know, everybody's excited for the game in Vegas on Sunday, first time ever playing them, you know, new building, the excitement, it's going to be good atmosphere there. You know, can't overlook that game on Saturday. You know, you need all the points you can get. That's something where the maturity and leadership of the team gets tested in those kind of games, and the Flyers have to find a way to, you know, be up for that game in Arizona and you know, take care of the business they have to take care of. And you know, it's gonna be tough in Vegas on Sunday. Give that team huge credit, because if you look at their roster, it doesn't jump out at you, but then you look at their record, particularly at home. And it's a tough team. They're a team that really contains you through the neutral zone. You have to be very patient against them. They have very good team speed. They don't beat themselves, and they have good goaltending too. You know, that's going to be a very, very tough game. And you said then back home to play Jersey. You know, and the Flyers have won two of the first three. Really, they all could have, except for maybe the game where the Flyers jumped out 3-0. You know, but the other two games really could have gone either which way. And that's going to be, you know, as you said, it's a tough stretch of hockey here. Every day, particularly when you get to this time of year, the outlook seems to change based on how your last game went. So, you know, it's good to get those 2 points, you know, against the Canadiens, took care of the business they had to. But, you know, these are, other than I think a trip to Dallas and Colorado, this is it for the Western Conference games. So, you know, it's going to be all East pretty much all the time after this, other than I said that one other little quick trip. So yeah, I gotta get those points.
Now, looking past this trip into what comes up in the back half of the month, a bunch of divisional games. They're gonna play the Columbus Blue Jackets twice. Montreal Canadiens are in there twice, but the New York Rangers jump in there as well. Carolina and the Devils game when they come back. So they've got five divisional games there out of the next seven. Now the next eight when they come back home. And the one thing that's interesting to me anyway with the little bit of the mea culpa that the New York Rangers organization issued the other day, basically all but saying to their fans that they're going to be sellers at the deadline. And I kind of find that interesting just in the fact that everything is so close right now in the division. The Rangers have been kind of tailing off a little bit, but you know, for the Flyers, that's one fewer team they have to worry about, and B, a team that they're playing three more times before the end of the year, albeit with one of those games coming up before the trade deadline. However, when you take a team that is, going to be out of the playoff race, maybe, if they are, Dave Haxtell has said they become a little more dangerous. They have nothing to lose. They just can go all out and kind of prove everybody wrong, and it's just going to make those games even more interesting.
And sometimes you see teams like that, they kind of pull together from within. You know, everybody's, as you said, it's very easy to count them out at this point. If management is saying, well, we're going to, you know, disassemble the pieces, basically saying just about anybody on the team possibly could be traded. I don't think they're going to completely tear down, but there will be guys moved. I think everybody expects Rick Nash, as long as because the rumored prices on Nash, I think, are outrageous. But, you know, I think Nash will ultimately get moved. You could see a guy like Michael Grabner get moved, maybe even Ryan McDonagh get moved, you know. I think sometimes you see a team in under that kind of duress, they play relaxed, they overachieve. You know, I think back to a few years ago with the Coyotes, actually, when, you know, they had all the ownership stuff going on. Nobody predicted them being a playoff team, and they just, you know, they just overachieved all season. They were a playoff club. You know, I think you've seen teams pull together like that in surprise. I don't particularly think the Rangers will, but Rangers give the Flyers trouble anyway.
Yeah, you know,
particularly when the Flyers go to Madison Square
Unless
Garden.
They decide to trade Henrik Lundqvist, which I don't think they're going to do.
Yeah, he's going to.
They're going to give the Flyers trouble.
Exactly. You know, and. You know, it's never easy. There are no easy games. There's no Cleveland Barons around anymore. There's no Colorado Rockies. Every game's tough.
So looking again at one more thing with the Flyers currently before we kind of move on to what's going on elsewhere in the organization, the emergence of Travis Konecny has been tremendous. Obviously, he is just flourished since jumping up onto that line with Claude Giroux and Sean Couturier. He has a 2-goal game against Montreal, and just is really kind of turning into perhaps I guess the player the Flyers were looking for him to become. Maybe not this quickly, but he's been well documented to have been growing through his first year and maybe a few months of NHL life. He was a healthy scratch for a while, as that's something Dave Hakstol will do. He'll have a guy sit for a few games, work on some things, get extra work in after practice, watch the game from the press box, just kind of take everything in. Then he'll put him back in the lineup, and he'll use what they learned to advance. And that has been the case with almost everybody except Ivan Provorov. I think has spent at least some time watching the game from the press box. So that is a success story there for Travis Konecny, and they've gotten obviously a bounce back year, if you will, from Shane Gostisbehere after a bit of a quote unquote sophomore slump. But even Ivan Provorov now has 10 goals on the year. We were talking about this before we started. Two players with 10 goals on the blue line for the Flyers for the first time in almost 20 years. So it's really interesting to see where this team is right now in Ron Hextall's master plan. And there's been a lot of talk in the hockey media that the Flyers feel like they're a year away from knowing exactly where they are, but it's been a decent run here of things, especially over the last couple of months, to take a look at that.
Absolutely. And with Konecny, it was a process to get there. I've heard people say, all he needed to do was be moved up. That could have happened a lot sooner. But I think people forget that if you go back to the games last April, Konecny spent, I think it was the last five or six games of the season on the top line with Giroux and Voracek at the time. And he wasn't very productive. He wasn't ready yet for that role, And, I think it took some time to get Travis to that point, because you have to find what works for you in the National Hockey League. You play a certain way in junior hockey. And, Travis is only 20 years old still. To be where he's at right now has been a testament to the work he's put in. But also he's been, I think he needed that time. I think he needed, situations where, in the third period of close games, he would be sitting. It was just to get him to that level. I remember last year, why not use him 3-on-3? Because he wasn't ready to be trusted yet in 3-on-3 situations. Now this year, you see now he's a regular 3-on-3. He piled up some overtime goals and overtime assists there. He's really starting to spread his wings. And at age 20, he's still only at the tip of the iceberg of the things he can do. With Travis, I think a big thing with him is that he has so much speed and so much energy, learning to harness it. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I think Travis would play a little bit out of control. And not that it never still happens, but it happens less and less frequently. I think that he's finding what works for him. He's found chemistry with Claude Giroux and with Couturier. He's playing with skilled players, and he's thriving. Same thing with Nolan Patrick. It's both with physical issues and just the adaptation to the NHL. Last night, he had a good first period, a tough second period, so he sat most of the third. It'll get to a point where, with Nolan, might not be this year, but it'll be in the near future where, that's just a distant memory. He'll be a guy who's out there, tie games, one goal games, just consistently. It's a process to get young players there, and to see younger players starting to take a bigger bite from the team. And incidentally, I think, over time, Travis Sanheim will be another guy who'll come back up here, and you'll see him in those situations. I think Oscar Lindblom will come up. He'll be a guy that can be trusted in game online kind of situations. Add that to the veteran core that you have, and all of a sudden you see a team that's in the upper echelon. That's at least the vision, and there are signs they're moving that way.
So Travis Sanheim, of course, is decked down with the Lehigh Valley Phantoms for now, and the Phantoms have been stringing together some wins. Tell us a little bit about what's been going on with that team, and Sanheim has been tossed really into the mix there and playing the minutes you would expect him to play at the AHL level, trying to still work on that game and get himself back up here.
Travis has played pretty well, and it took him, I think, maybe a game or so. He'd just been sitting for so long. But I think that, he's been playing a lot with Philippe Myers, who's, now that he's healthy, is really playing well. And nobody talks about Nick Aubé-Kubel, but he's been tremendous. He's had, you know, he is night and day from his rookie year to his second year.
Mm-hmm.
And they've done a really good job. He's piling up a lot of points, and he's doing it pretty much all at 5-on-5 too. He's been one of the guys who stepped up for the Phantoms this year, to the point where maybe he's the guy who would be, you know, in an NHL mix by some point next year. I think a big thing with the Phantoms is that they're finally healthy. They were on the blue line, they were just riddled with injuries. Then they started having forwards drop like flies. You know, they're still without two important pieces. Sam Moran is still out, and Danique Martel is out. But otherwise they're a healthy team right now. And big game coming up against Hershey tonight. They've handled Hershey, but you know it's so tight right now at the top of the division with the Penguins. And you know it's a really tough division. I mean, there are four really good teams on top of there. So to beat Charlotte again was a good sign for the team. They find ways. They've been a resilient team.
We talked a little bit about Travis Konecny and his process. He was a late-round pick the year the Flyers got Ivan Provorov this past year. The Flyers obviously got Nolan Patrick second overall, but they were able to do a similar thing they did to that 2015 draft and maneuver themselves in position to get a extra late-round pick that turned into Morgan Frost. That's turning into what looks like a pretty good choice by the Flyers, because what a year he has been having with Sault Ste. Marie. As that team has been just rampaging through the Ontario Hockey League, what's the latest on him and some of the other guys that the Flyers have at the junior levels?
Well, Morgan, who had a two-goal game last night and wasn't even one of his best games, honestly.
Oh, is that all? Two goals?
Yeah, just two goals. Just two goals. He's leading the league in scoring, leading the league in assists. He's something like a plus 53 or plus 54 in 51 games. He's fifth in goals. He has 32 goals in the season. And it's not just the numbers, too. You know, he's winning faceoffs. He always has the puck on his stick. He's much improved defensively. You know, and to average, because, you know, not only is he leading the league in scoring, he's been averaging 2 points a game for the last 35 games now. You don't want to put player comparisons out there. This is just a statistical thing. The last Flyers prospect to average 2 points a game over 30-plus games in junior hockey was Claude Giroux. Not saying he's going to be Claude Giroux. Not saying he's going to be Simone Gagné or whatever. He's going to be Morgan Frost. But, you know, he's a dynamic young player. Very, very smart. Outstanding playmaking ability. You know, he won the best skater competition, the top prospects, with and without the puck. And, I mean, he has just... The way that he plays, he's more surgical than spectacular, which is a good thing, you know. Like whereas Travis Konecny had to slow himself down sometimes, you know. If anything, Morgan Frost could afford to speed up a little bit, and that, like I said, and that's for a guy who was best skater. He's played with a rare ability to slow play down, you know, and see the ice really well. So it's not just the stats he's putting up, because even when some of his top teammates, Boris Tkachuk, Connor Timmins, and they didn't have Radish yet. Taylor Radish, he came over after the World Juniors. Even without those guys, you know, he actually was playing some of his best hockey of the season when the Greyhounds were winning and winning and winning. Is he going to be ready to play pro hockey next year? Maybe not. He still has to add some muscle to his frame. But he's a dynamic young player, and mm-hmm. there are other guys coming up too. You know, it's unfortunate that Wade Allison's season is over, but he's had a tremendous sophomore year of college hockey. Leshinsky is another guy who might be a pro next year. He's had a terrific second season, played in the U.S. World Junior team that won the gold medal, showed his versatility. He played a fourth line kind of checking penalty killing role, and he was very good at it. And whereas in college hockey, he's more of a top end scoring kind of guy. He's a guy that I think the Flyers are excited. They might be able to move him around the lineup. There's a young player in Sweden, an 18-year-old named Olli Liksell, who is already playing in the Elite League and already scoring goals at 18 against grown men in that league. We've talked about Carter Hart before. Carter Hart is having an unbelievable year. He'll be with the Phantoms a year from now. So you know, it's a very exciting situation when you look at the amount of talent, and there's more on the way. I mean, the Flyers have two first round picks this year.
Yeah, you're looking at, again, at the second half of that trade that brought Morgan Frost to the Flyers system, and Braden Schenn obviously went to St. Louis, and he's having a great year. But the pick that the Flyers are going to get next year appears to be probably in that same range, the way the Blues are going, you know, in the late part of the first round, probably in the mid to late 20s, perhaps, depending on how things go for them. But, you know, you got to wonder who else might the Flyers pluck out of that round of that area of the draft. You know, not to put any pressure on John Riley and everybody, but you know, they're out there looking, and they've proven to be able to find guys at that spot. Obviously, you know, Simone Gagné and Claude Giroux and now Morgan Frost and some others, these late first rounders over the years. We'll have to wait and see who comes next and who might be there.
And they find ways to maneuver on draft day too. You know, last year Flyers went for upside over quantity. Flyers traded three picks to move up in the second round, take Isaac Ratcliffe. You know, still raw in a lot of ways, but there's a kid who at 6'6" skates like a guy much smaller than him, big booming shot. I mean, a lot of times bigger players like that, it takes time to bring all the elements together, but the upside is there with him, you know. And I think the Flyers have shown an ability, not even beyond those late first round picks. You know, they've found guys in later rounds. We've talked about Lindblom today. He was a fifth round pick, you know, and then by 21 he's SHL Forward of the Year over in Sweden, and AHL All Star is a rookie this year.
Yep.
So, you know, it's finding that depth through the draft has been something that since Ron Hextall's come in, and you know, Chris Pryor and all the scouts deserve a lot of credit. I mean, it's for good reason the Flyers were picked as having the top farm system, you know, in the NHL. And then there's the development side too. You know, just the little things that you can see the John Rileys and Shel Samuelsons working with on players. You know, for example, we talked about Obey Kubel. Just little things like protecting the puck, making smarter plays without the puck, you know, taking better routes. Those are little things, using their feet on the boards to protect the puck. You know, that's those little subtle things that maybe fly under the radar. They've done a really good job with these younger players. Again, it's an exciting thing, and over time will pay dividends, hopefully.
Well, we're winding down on time here on this edition of Flyer Buzz. We've got lots of stuff coming up for you in the near future here. Bill is part of a new podcast that we're doing, a Broadcasters Roundtable with Tim Saunders and Steve Coates and Jim Jackson. We have another episode of that coming up, and you guys kind of take a more current look at the team, a bit of an analytical view at the games gone by, and you know, those guys are in the position to watch every second of every one of these games, and you know, that's a different perspective we'll bring, but we have another one of those coming up next week.
Absolutely, yeah, and everybody has their own, you know, little different slant on things. Doing the podcast format is very exciting because it gives us a chance to talk a little bit more in length, as opposed to we were doing some videos, and the brevity is the key there. So in doing the podcast format, it gives us more chance to talk about stuff.
Bob Rotruck has another Phantoms update coming up today as well. If you're listening to this and you haven't found that yet, go ahead and check that out as well on our podcast page. It's flyersradio247.blueberry.com. That's with no E's in blueberry. Just drop all the E's and you'll find it. And we'll continue to keep that stuff coming. And we've got some other things perhaps in the works here for the stretch run of the 2017-18 season and the playoffs coming up as well. So keep with us here at Flyers Radio 24/7 on our podcast page. You can subscribe via iTunes, Google Play, or what have you. And enjoy this run with us here. It's going to be interesting. Coming down the stretch here of this 2017-18 season. We will talk to you soon on our next episode of Flyer Buzz here on Flyers Radio 24/7.